Stand together, Romans chapter 2. Of course, this week is Thanksgiving. We're not talking about Thanksgiving, but this week is Thanksgiving. I encourage you to remember that we do have our service on Tuesday night, not on Thursday. We will for a few minutes in the service, just to give you a heads up, take a few blessings. One of the things I miss when we were a smaller church every Sunday night, those of you that have been here for a while, we would do that and have a few minutes where people can share blessings, and I really enjoyed that. But for our Thanksgiving service on Thursday night, we'll do a few minutes of that. But I hope that you have a good time on Thursday with your family or whoever. But do remember what the day is all about. It's about thanking God for his blessings. And don't ever, ever forget that. You say, well, you know, I don't have as many blessings as the other person. Well, there's someone else you have more blessings than. And being in our country, we really have no right to complain. God's taken very good care of us. So, a lot to be thankful for. Romans chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Excuse me. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient endurance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. And Lord, we do have much to be thankful for. Lord, if we are saved, we'll have a whole eternity to thank you for that. And Father, I pray as we look at the message this morning, we look in your word, that you would just help us to realize something and live with this in our mind at all times. Bless us now. Help us to get what you want us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do forgive me, I've got a bit of a cold in my throat. I've been fighting. It's on the downward side, but still a bit there. So bear with me. This first section of the book of Romans is where God is explaining man's sinfulness in order that we can understand our need and his provision for salvation. When we look at the law of God shows us our need for God. And once we understand our need for God, we understand that we cannot be saved by keeping his law. The law is given because it's helpful and there's things in there that help us in our life, but the law is also given to show us that no matter what we do fall short. And because we fall short of God's law, we need someone to help us, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saved by keeping the law. The law shows us we could never keep it. This is where Christ came in, and we're thankful for that. In the whole context of this, verse 6 comes in. It's reminding us that our sinful deeds or actions will have a day where the pay will come due. Verse 6 states, who will render to every man according to his deeds. When we understand that there's a day coming when all of our actions will be on view for God, and that will come due, we understand that we need Jesus Christ to pay for that for us. So when we stand before God, we do not have to pay for that ourselves. If we are smart, we trusted Christ so that that debt we owe God is paid and we don't have to pay it ourselves. And we're thankful for that. But the truth that is in verse 6 transcends just this section about dealing with our sin and having our sin paid for when we die. It has to do with every area of our life. When he says, who will render, the word render means to pay off. To every man according to his deeds. Those are the things or the work that we do in our life, that which occupies us and occupies our life. One day there is a payoff for everything that we do. We will stand before God, and everything that we do will have a payoff. In our church, over the last few years, we have coined a phrase, which we talk about, called, that's living with an eternal mindset. In other words, not living our life solely for what this earth brings and what happens on this earth. We live our life according to how does it affect eternity? How is it going to affect the other side? We are not supposed to just live for the here and now, but for the there and later. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. In other words, if we are risen with Christ, if we have been saved, then we should not just focus on the things that are below, we should set our affection on the things that are above, the things that God says is important, the things that God says are of true value. Why is that important? We are accountable to God, and that day when we will stand before him and answer, it's coming. You see, when you got up today, you are one day older than you were yesterday. I don't know how many of you knew that. Some of you are looking a lot older than you used to look. Okay? You know, as you're getting older, it's like, man, when someone hits 40, they're old. Then you start getting closer to 40, it says, you know, 50 is old. Then when you hit 50, it's like 65 is old. Now, I don't mind getting older, because the older I get, the better looking I'm getting. That's what my wife says, anyhow. She lies about other things. But, you know, hey, 30 was no big deal. 40 was no big deal. But recently when I hit 50, there was just something about that number. 50. That was a 5 there. Robert, now I know how you've been feeling for all these years. 50. Man. I'm depressed. Let's go home and eat. Someone has said, I saw a sign when we were in Big Bear. It says, time is a great teacher. Unfortunately, it kills all of its students. But we are getting older. So no matter how old you are one day closer to that time when we will stand before God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If you have your Bibles, turn real quick. I want you to look one more portion of Scripture. This is introduction, and we'll make a few points, and we'll be done here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you have your Bible, flip over to there, please. Romans, it's the next book. Just hang a right, a couple chapters, you're there, okay? Romans chapter 3. There is coming a day when we will stand before God. Now, let me say this before we get into it. If you are saved, we are not standing before God for our sins. Can I get a witness on that one? We're not going to stand before God and say, well, let's roll out the carpet. Let's see all of your sins. Nope. God will stand before him for what we did for him after we were saved. Because our condemnation that our sin brought has been paid for. Jesus Christ paid for that. Okay? So we're not judged for our sins. Our sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. And so that's good news, but that doesn't mean we will not stand before him in accountability for the things which we have done in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, so let's look at verse 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, those are good, wood, hay, stubble, those are not good, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. One day as a Christian, everything we have done, particularly for the Lord, will come before God, and it's like it's being tried by fire. Wood, hay, or stubble, that burns up. That's just fuel. But the others will stand the test of fire. What are we doing? You ever have someone ask you, like, what do you do for a living? And you tell them what you do for a living. But sometimes people have the guts. I don't think you should ask it. It's not, how much are you making? And it's usually none of your business. Okay? Enough to pay my bills sometimes. My question, spiritually speaking, is what are you making? There's a payday coming. And it's all based on what we're doing on this earth. And one day we will stand before him. God tells us spiritually we are paid according to our work. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't it? Listen, I hate injustice. I hate when just the bad guys win, the good guys lose. The other night, the Raiders won, right? Bad guys win. You know, I guess everybody's got to win. By the way, Oakland's a lot like Los Angeles. Neither of us have a football team, okay? But anyhow. But, you know, and it's almost like, how did they get away with it? And here's this person, and it seems like they have everything in this life, and they have no fear of God. Listen, can I say something? If everything was only about what's on this earth, that would be frustrating. But can I just tell you something? It's not all about what's on this earth. You realize, measure out your life. 70 years, if it was 70, I think the life expectancy now is 75, 76. I'm sure Obamacare will knock that down about 10 years if we let it. But so you measure that against eternity. Eternity's forever. And so God knows what's going on. And everything we do for God, it's not in vain. There is a payday coming, and God's keeping score. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We give ourselves to the Lord. But I like this last phrase in Romans 12, 1, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable is a term which means it's logical. The numbers add up. If I sit here and I tell you 2 plus 2 is 4, you can argue with me. But it's logical. It makes sense. And it could be two apples plus two apples. It could be two dogs plus two dogs. It could be two of anything plus two of it. And it's always going to end up being four. That's logical. It makes sense. He's telling us here in this verse that giving ourselves to the Lord, it's our reasonable service. It's logical. It adds up. It's just the thing we ought to do. Amen. Now, I want to look about this thing, about a payday from Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. I want to make several points here when it comes to this. What are you making spiritually? I want you to notice, number one, first of all, as we mentioned earlier, there is a payday. He says, who will. That means it is coming. There is a day coming that we will stand before God, and he will look at what we've done for him. Look, where you work, everybody knows when payday is, right? Some places you get paid on Friday. I used to work at a place, they paid us on Thursday because you could cash your check on Friday. Around here, our church, you get paid on the 1st and the 15th. Everybody knows it. You know when your payday is. You're looking forward to it. Well, guess what? There is a payday. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know when that payday is, but it is coming. Because sometimes God is not standing over our shoulder, we lose sight of the fact that there is a payday coming. We live our lives like they're never going to end. And let me just tell you something. They are going to. It is going to end one day. There is a payday coming. They did a study of these children. I don't know if I mentioned here. They had these children, and they put them in a classroom, and they had a glass, one of those glass walls up where you can see out of the backside, but when you're looking on the front side, all you see is a mirror. And they told the children, they said, now children, your teacher is going to stand behind there. We want you to behave. She can see you. And they showed the children, look, you can see out this side. They can see you. So the children knew that, and they said, so we want you to behave, because even though you can't see your teacher can see you. And, you know, the children for a few minutes were good. They look over at the mirror, and they couldn't see, but they're like, well, we know the teacher's there. We know the teacher can see. But as time went on, it's like they just started misbehaving as if the teacher wasn't there. Why? Because I couldn't see her. Sometimes that's how we live our life. We live our life and we think that we live without the realization that God knows everything that's going on. And just because he's not tapping on our shoulder and just because we don't see him in front of us doesn't mean that there is not a payday coming. Right. It is coming. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read a few verses here. Verse 32. This is the Heroes Hall of Faith. And they went through all kinds of, at the end, it's talking about the martyrs and those that went through all kinds of horrible things and how they could do it. I'll start in verse 32. You can listen along. It says, and what shall I say, therefore? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the army's aliens. Now, verse 35, women received their dead back to life again, and others were tortured. Now, all of a sudden, it's going from these that overcame things to those who actually were tortured for their faith. Why did they do it? It says here, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Now he turns it and says, these people actually had to choose whether to live their faith and die or to recant. And these people chose rather to suffer affliction because, as the verse says there, they wanted a better resurrection. In other words, they knew there was a day coming. They knew that this life isn't all there is. And they weren't living for the here and now. By the way, if they're just living, some of these Christians in these countries where they're tortured, if you don't understand things from an eternal perspective, it's hard to comprehend. See, we don't comprehend it because it's not happening here. But there are countries where people are being killed for their faith. How can they stand up and put their lives in jeopardy? You know why? Because they understand there is a day coming. It's not just about living for what's on this earth. There is a payday coming. Number two, there is a payoff. There is a payoff. It is for sure. He says, who will render? He is going to pay us off. It is a for sure thing. Now, let me say this. How excited we are about that day is going to be determined by what we think we're going to get out of it. There was a time in my life where you think about that day and it's like, I don't want to think much about that day. That's the last thing I wanted to do is stand before God right now. Why? Because I knew I wasn't doing right. I knew I was saved, but I knew I wasn't doing right, and I knew that payday wasn't going to be very good. I remember years ago, when we first started working full-time at the church, we had to move down on Broadway into an apartment. We were apartment managers. And so we got into there, and we worked for a company. I forget the name of it right now. RK Properties. And what they did is every 3 months, all the apartment managers had to go on a Tuesday night, and they would go to some nice restaurant, and they would go over all the apartments, and they had these numbers. They would figure out the amount of vacancies that you had, and then the amount of income that came in, how much you spent on maintenance, and they had a little formula, and depending on that formula, you got a financial bonus. There was just one problem with that. All these apartment managers, they're having dinner, and there was only like two apartments that didn't get the bonus because their owners didn't do it. And guess what? We were one of them. And I hated those meetings. I hated them. Now, my wife's like, just deal with it. It's free date night. Because usually it was at a nice restaurant. And we would go there, and the guy that owned Mr. RK, whatever, I think his name was Rance King, he was about as boring as a dial tone, you know. Let's look at, was that 2611 Broadway? Let's look at 2611 Broadway. And man, our numbers were good. My wife kept that apartment building full. Our numbers were good. Okay, their percentage is 96. Now, I knew a 96 would be like about a $1,000 bonus, because I listened to the other apartments and they would clap for us and they didn't give us a check. I was not excited about that at all. At all. Why? I heard the good numbers, but we didn't get any of it. You know what? Some of you won't be excited before you stand before God. Some of us won't be excited because we haven't brought much to the table. But let me just tell you something. You're still alive. That can change. God doesn't expect perfection out of us, but God wants us to go the right direction and try to love him and try to serve him. We had a guy one time, nice guy. He worked in the paper warehouse. Just a nice guy, but he never smiled. Never smiled. Just, you know, always just kind of sour. And so we got paid on a Thursday night. We were walking around working, and he knew I was a Christian. He came up to me, he goes, I want to show you something, Steve. I'm like, okay. And he showed me his paycheck. And out of his paycheck, there was a section where they took half of it. He goes, they give that to my ex-wife and the children. And I'm looking at what he had left, and I'm like, man, there is not much there. And he looked at me and goes, now you know why I don't smile. Like, I don't blame you. You know what they say, it's cheaper to keep her. I say you get what you pay for. All right, I won't say. I was listening to a radio show, and Michael Strahan, former football player, he went through a horrible divorce. He lost hundreds of millions of dollars to his wife. Someone asked about it. Hey, how did that whole divorce thing, how come it cost you so much? He goes, it cost me a lot, but it was worth every penny. No, I don't believe that. But how excited we're going to be about that day is going to be determined. Listen, if we're not at all interested in eternity, how are we going to get excited about it? Listen, if someone said, I'm going to give you free tickets to a cricket match. That's those guys, it's kind of baseball and they can hit the ball everywhere and I don't understand it. I would not be excited about it. I know nothing about it. I thought crickets were those little cricket, you know, they make the little. I don't know anything about crickets or cricket. Okay, I wouldn't be excited about it. Some of us are going to be like that when we get to heaven. We don't understand much. The point I'm making is, why don't we start living for it now? Why don't we start saying, listen, I understand we got responsibilities in this life. I get it. But there's something better coming, and why don't we start working towards that day? Nothing we do for the Lord is in vain. Nothing. We saw that verse earlier. By the way, some people, you serve the Lord in our church, and thank you for that. By the way, it's not in vain. Then we have ladies in the nursery. Can I just tell you something? That is not exciting. I love my grandkids. Love them to death. By the way, my grandson's here for the first time. Hope he didn't mess his diaper because it'd probably be some horrific color. And I got a granddaughter over there. And love them to pieces. But man, when their diaper needs to be changed, I'm glad there's older kids in the house. Okay? When we had our children, I helped. If I had to. I mean, every now and then I'd bite the bullet and say, okay, here we go. But man, thank you for doing that. That'd be horrific if all those, I love the kids to pieces, but man, if they were all in here, that would be bad. That is not good. Thank you for doing. Our bus drivers and our bus workers, they get here early on Sunday morning and get on a rickety old bus and drive and pick people up. Our drivers, you know, that's probably one of the most thankless jobs in the church, bus driver. And thank you guys that drive the bus, and your bus captain's ought to buy you lunch. Robert, you drive, Brother Lucero? Good. Parking attendants, let's just throw that one out there. You say, man, I want to serve God and I don't know how. Listen, come see me. Okay? You say, what do you got to do? Poor Nick. I put Nick out in the front. Said, okay, now the parking guy's here. And he said, the inspector says, I want you out in front, man. And you say, who's Nick? He's the guy that told you to park somewhere today and you hate his guts. Okay? I am not going to do it. By the way, I had a lady next door. She parked right inside of the zone where she's not supposed to. And we had to go tell her, you can park there. You know, you're not part of our church, but you might get a ticket. And she moved. But there's jobs in the church, helping in adult class, choir and orchestra. Man, if you have a voice, you ought to get in the choir. Okay? Say, why aren't you in the choir? If you have a voice, you ought to get in the choir. That could be painful. I play an instrument. I got my Les Paul electric guitar. We ain't going there. But all these things, there are things to do in the church. And when we serve, it's like, come on, man, where's Larry? Larry's always standing on this corner over here, making sure our neighbors, we don't want anybody parking in front of their house, don't park there. Listen, oh, that's not a big deal. But he's serving the Lord. Amen. Everything we do is serving the Lord. Greeters, ushers, you name it. Let's make sure that we're serving the Lord. It is not in vain. It is not in vain. I don't regret a minute. I remember when I was in Bible college, here I was, 19, 20 years old, and we would go out on our bus routes. We'd get up in Chicago about 10 o'clock at night in the morning, and we would visit till 9 at night. Now, if someone came knocking on my door at 9 o'clock at night, I would wring their neck, but we were just ignorant, you know? And I'm out there till 9 o'clock, and if it was cold, we froze. You know, Chicago, the temperature's not that good. I remember sometimes we'd be out there running around and trying to rein these kids up for the morning, and just like, it's like, hey, listen, and Satan throws this little thing. Other people your age aren't doing that. They're out doing other things. You're wasting your life. But you know, I had to remember, I'm not wasting my life because I wasn't doing this for me. I was doing this for the Lord. It is all good serving the Lord. Number three, there is a payee who will render to every man. You see, serving God is a personal thing. Each and every one of us will be personally accountable for what we do, for what we do. I am not going to stand before God for what how John served the Lord. Now, kind of in my position, I probably will a little bit, but beyond that. I stand before God for what Steve Myers did. Brother Pichardo, you're going to stand before God for what you do. Brother Jim, you're not going to make it. Brother Pineda, you'll stand before God for what you do, okay? Brother Jim will make it too. It's personal. Well, you know, I went to a church one time and someone was mean to me and that's why I don't serve God. Maybe someone was mean to you, but let me just tell you something. That doesn't mean God was mean to you. Okay, that's God's fault. See, we always blame, we always try to find a reason why we don't do something. But guess, can I tell you something? Excuses don't fly. And I've done every job in this church, youth director, you name it, I've done it, and I've heard every excuse in the book, and that's just what it is, an excuse. Why'd you do that? Well, you know, so-and-so, I don't care about so-and-so. When I ask my kid, hey, why did you do that? They'll say, well, you know, the other kid, I don't care about the other kid. We're not talking about the other kid. We're talking about you. You're my child. They're not my child. Why'd you do it? Okay, they're accountable to me. They're not. And we're all accountable to God. There's a payday coming. Did you know every birth certificate came with an expiration date? You just don't know what it is. I heard a story about a guy who's a preacher, and he went to the doctor, and he wasn't feeling good. He was a little older, and the doctor came back and goes, I got bad news for you. You're going to die. And he looked at the doctor and said, so are you. We just don't know when. We're all going to die. We can do what we want. We can do what we can to try to avoid it. How many of you have ever been to the house in San Jose? Winchester. Bang, thanks. How many have ever been to the Winchester house? Okay, you know the story behind that, right? There's a Winchester heiress, and she was getting residual income from the Winchester rifles, and so she didn't have to work, and she had all kinds of money. She went to a spiritist, somebody that's kind of like, Satanist or whatever, and this lady told her, said, listen, as long as you're building on your house, you won't die. And if you go to that house, remember one time my wife and I were there, and we went to the house. It was weird. They had a staircase that winds like this, and it only goes up when you get to the top about 8 inches. They had doors that opened to walls. She had guys constantly for years and years just building onto the house meaningless things because she just had to have someone building onto her house. Can I just tell you something? She died. It didn't work. And it won't work for you and I either. None of us are going to get out of this thing alive. None of us. We are all responsible for what we do for God. Remember Houdini told his friends that when he dies, he will contact them from the dead. Guess what? They're still waiting. Okay, it didn't happen. We must be prepared. Number four, there is a pay plan. He says, according to our deeds. And then he gives some things here, some good things and some bad things in the verses afterwards. You see, God judges us according to what we do for him. What are our deeds? What should be our plan? Our plan ought to be to continue to do well, to do good. We must always just go forward. God doesn't want perfection. He wants direction. And let's make sure that what we're doing is serving him and doing. You have two options when it comes to life. You can do it right, or you can do it wrong. It's like I heard somebody said, you know, we went to the marriage thing. Whenever there's a fight, there are two people in that fight. There's the person who's right, and then there's the husband. But we can do things our way, or we can do things God's way. And the plan is going to be determined on what way do we choose to do it. Listen, if you went to a place to get a job and the boss comes in and says, you know what, you're hired. There's two jobs here. There's minor differences. And you can have whatever one you want. This job here pays this. This job over here, not much difference in the work, but it pays three times as much. What do you want? How many of you would take the job that pays three times as much? You say, oh, that's the love of money. No, that's just common sense. Okay? If they're going to give you more money, take it. God has a wonderful payment plan. God has a reward system. God wants to just be, now, the worse we get with God, it'll be better than what we have on this earth. But I'm just saying, why don't we live in view and say, Lord, I want the best, and I want the best for you, and I'm going to do everything I can. And then the last thing is, there is a pay scale. The last verse we read in Romans, verse 11, says there's no respect to persons with God. You ever work at a place where there's restrictions? When I got hired, I told you, I worked at the warehouse. When I got hired, the guy told me off the bat, he goes, now, you need to understand the 11th commandment here, seniority. Everything was based on seniority. If a job came open, it wasn't based on who would be the best worker. It was based on who had worked there the most amount of time. And there were several jobs I tried to get, I couldn't, simply because I didn't work there as long as some other guys. Not that I wasn't better qualified. Not that he was better. It was just he had more seniority. There is no respect of persons with God. God is not going to judge me based on what Brother Pineda did. God's not going to judge Brother Pineda based on what John does. It doesn't matter. There's no. We all stand before God for who we are. If we feel like we are restricted in our life, there's only one person that can restrict you in your life in any area. That's you. You are allowing yourself to be restricted. But you don't understand my past. I don't need to understand your past. Get over your past. It's done. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Your past, forget your past. Quit being nailed down by something that happened years ago. Okay? You are clean. You are forgiven. Man, get up and go forward for God. He doesn't want to restrict you. We restrict ourselves. We've said a lot of things this morning, but the bottom line is this. Let's not just live for right now. If all we do is wrap our life up in everything that's going on right now, that's where the frustration comes from. Things don't go our way. Our plans kind of get off to the side. Well, of course, because you're building everything about right now, and you're building everything about what you want. But when we put everything in God's hands and we seek to serve him and we take care of the things in our life, I understand that, but we're seeking to do what he wants us to do. If something happens, that's just something in God's will. He wants us to do this. There is no frustration level. Because if God allows it, well, that God allowed it, let's just go forward. But that day is coming. The most miserable people in this world are the people that only live for themselves. And they only live for right here. There's more to life than that. And by the way, you know, we talk about the joy of serving Jesus. There is joy in serving Jesus. And there's a joy in knowing that God's paying attention to everything we're doing. And we're not going to get shortchanged one day. You can take it as a negative. Oh, by the way, God's not bringing us in there with a hammer to whack us every time we messed up. No. God wants to reward us for what he did for what we've done for him. Why don't we take advantage of that? Let's not just live for the now. As it says in Hebrews, that there is a better resurrection. And I hope we're striving for that. Let's all stand together.